You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Bro, seriously? What time is it? I'm not even playing.
I don't know. You've been awake for like 15 hours, I think?
I went to bed at 9 p.m. I got in bed at 9 p.m. Let me say that. Let me rephrase my previous statement.
You get in bed, and then all you do for the next 2 hours is wonder what wild decisions you made with your life.
Bro, all I know is I got to bed, and I could hear my heart go. I'm like, I don't think I'm tired yet, dude.
What's good, everybody? Yes, Alexis, this is the beginning of the new version of the Cooligans.
I'm on different hours now, bro. I'm one of these morning people now, bro.
very morning people.
Let me tell you something. Why y'all up before the sun, dude?
Nah, bro. The sun is out here. Like when the sun wakes up, they're like, yo, why y'all awake?
The sun be like, damn, son. Am I late? And seeing you got me worried.
What's good, everybody? Welcome. Yes, we're a couple minutes late, so you know how it is.
Get ready for some new schedules, because I might be like, hey, man, I'm on the train from Stanford, and when I wake up in Pennsylvania, I'll come back.
Why? How did I cross the Mason-Dixon?
Damn. Wow. What, am I back in time, dude?
What happened? I swear I was in...
Why am I drinking sun tea on a porch, yo? I'm invited to a cotillion. Oh, damn. I think I went too far.
The Oregon Trail. Damn, I made a mistake.
Damn. Banger. I barely know her. I don't know even why that. Alexis versus 10,000 Lions versus the sun. Well, the 10,000 Lions win because the sun ain't even up yet, bro.
All right.
The sun busy in the Atlantic Ocean, bro.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Did I hit it?
You didn't hit it.
Okay, but I think I broke it. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Okay, what's good, everybody? Okay, this is just he hits those buttons just so he can wake himself up.
It really is waking myself up. You know, I read an article from a scientist.
Already, you I'm know. Like, yo, you, yeah. This man didn't read a thing.
Sorry, I read this a YouTube. I watched a YouTube video that paraphrased an article.
I read a YouTube title, and I know.
And now I'm going crazy.
I'm an expert.
Yo, shut up. You're giving away my secrets, Christian. No, seriously, I did read. I read two articles by a group of scientists that have studied sleep over the last 20 years, and they surmised different ways and that your body knows it's time to go to bed, mm-hmm. like, you know, primally, and I don't think primally is a word, how it knows to awake. So naturally, we would see the sun through our eyelashes, right? Or through our eyebrows, our eyelids. Eyelids.
Damn.
I'm getting there, bro.
Yo, everybody, buckle in.
Bro, this is going to be a wild one, bro.
Because this class is in session.
You got to see it through the eyelashes, bro. You got to see it through the eyelids. You know what's funny, man? On CBS, man, they'd be like, yo, you made a mistake. I'd be like, we got to roll with these. Sometimes these are gold.
Somebody talk to Christian to let y'all know how it is to work with someone like me.
Sometimes there's gold and then there are hills. You feel me? We just gotta find them.
You just gotta let it ride sometimes.
Yo, we gotta roll, baby. You gotta, what you gotta do is just add a BL to the mistake I made. Your eye blashes, bro. So, okay, well, yes. Here's the thing. So you would see the sun through your closed eyes, you would feel the sun on you.
Right.
And it would wake, it would naturally wake you up. It apparently it starts to diminish a chemical in your brain. I believe it's like adenosine or something like that, adenosine, right? So you need to stand in the sun, right? Or you need to stand in light. So I put on the light to my bathroom because I'm up before the sun, right?
Right.
And the other thing it says is that naturally your body temperature is supposed to drop, and that alerts your body that it's time to wake up. So their suggestion is take a cold shower. And let me tell you, I tried. And I got about like a, I would say like a hefty 30 seconds in before I was like, yo, fuck this scientist, bro.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, look, this is.
I tried, man.
This is, you know, this is, and this is only day one.
So, yo, so imagine day 20. It's going to be me asleep on this table.
So, yeah, look, a lot of times people, when you drink cold brew, people always usually say like, oh, the, you know.
It's Alexis, a cold brew episode.
It's a cold brew episode because Alexis is a little trippy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you
because I come in hot.
You're not even going to need coffee this time, bro. It's just, you know. For the, in the future, it's just you're gonna be just loopy Alexis. For,
yeah, man. I mean, you guys are getting like, you guys are getting what the Alexis that Christian gets before we hit record.
Robert from LA,
paid $5 for us to say this. Can we get your thoughts on how MLS clubs did in the CCL last week?
Yes, we can. We'll recap some of that. We did. Given that we record on Tuesdays, it's usually before the matches happen.
And
so,
too far after.
And too far after from the previous weeks or whatever.
But we can make fun of Austin getting cooked by a a team with a kid from Jersey and a bunch of players who haven't played together in 256 days.
Because we spoke about the first legs with Eli Lesser when he was here, which was also great. Eli came in hot. And he also, because obviously he's an LA guy.
It's a big moment for him.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, but to be on this show is an honor. And also, he's an LA Galaxy fan, so no, he ain't got nothing to talk about.
Right. So a lot of people had a lot of strong opinions over his opinions about LA Galaxy.
Without trying, he's a bit of lightning rod. You and I have said some wild shit, and people be like, yo, they're crazy. Eli gives you a well-thought-out thing, and they're like, bro, that dude is my name. We need to get him on the
That's
internet.
The problem is that people expect, you know, most of stupidity or bad opinions from us. But when somebody is on the show with a proper, well-thought-out perspective, they're going to be like, no, this is why this person shouldn't even have a platform.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. How dare he ruin the
no, I respected
that
it.
Show.
I respected it because, you know what?
Somebody said if I take a cold shower, Omar Ramirez said, Alexis is going to turn blue like the Coors Light.
Dude, always on brand.
Part of me definitely be like, oh, I think it's time to drink.
But it was interesting because they were giving Eli some of the like, oh, he's like an influencer. We shouldn't care about his opinion. And it's like, bro, you see all the stuff around here? There's a lot of, we've been heavily influenced.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Have you not been influenced by us, bro? We've been trying. Every time we have this cold course light.
We're not doing our jobs well enough if you ain't influenced.
Yeah. I get it because he like dances and stuff in videos, you know?
Sure,
like,
sure.
I get why you would plan him that way. But the guy runs This Week in MLS.
Yeah.
He kind of knows what he's talking about.
Exactly. Has a lot of, a great, good perspective. On the league, probably more than most people. But
yeah,
that's
man.
That. If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping. So that's
is you. I say no, bro.
So
also, Kevincho said he would come in hot. We got to make this happen.
Oh, that's right.
We got to get Kevincho.
Kevincho. Also, shout out if you have not subscribed to Kevincho's channel because Sporting Kansas City are doing him a favor. I think the content strategy is like,
it's better when they stink.
It's when we're like, yo, we're just not gonna do very well up top, so that Kevincho has just more to discuss and more to talk about.
How do we get our number one influencer to bubble? You know, okay. What if we suck? Yo, we could do that.
I was gonna say we have to wait until Sporting Kansas City's most painful loss of the season and then have him.
I mean, I think it's already happened because they.
I think it's gonna be every
game
week.
Against FC Dallas was absolutely fascinating. The storyline of they're playing games knowing that Kevin is watching. They're literally because they got A penalty?
They're asking themselves at halftime, what more ridiculous thing can we do to help Kevin Show's reaction?
We need to jump the shark
yeah.
4 weeks into the season. Because
like, don't worry, there'll be other sharks to jump.
If you didn't see that game, FC Dallas or Sporting Kansas City gets a penalty. They take the penalty and miss. Obviously, the goalkeeper stops it. And they find that the goalkeeper encroached. He stepped over the line before the shot was taken. They do a retake.
He resaves it.
And he saves it again. Bro, this was when I was watching Kevin's highlights of this match, I was like, bro,
I feel sorry.
I feel sorry for my mans because it's one of those like, yo, she's not treating you right. You gotta leave her. He's like, I can't.
Bro, you too loyal, bro.
You're too loyal.
Didn't the keeper also get a red and then that got rescinded?
It was a second yellow.
A second yellow. And then that got rescinded. Damn, bro. Yo, you, the whole, if your club was a dish, it'd be a struggle play.
So a fascinating week in MLS. We're going to go over a bunch of MLS stuff, a couple of the matches. We'll go over some CCL stuff. Also, Christian Pulisic did his sit down interview. Mm. He did a nice like 60 minute style.
Yeah. It was very. He was like, I'll bring a little bit of heat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know? So and
there was like an adultness of this interview.
There was a maturity that we're not used to.
Like he said, give me the mic.
Yeah, a little self awareness, a little bit of like, you know, it was like a child telling the adults like, hey, we all gotta get our act together.
Let me tell you, let me be the adult in the room.
So we'll begin there because Christian Pulisic did do an interview with ESPN, and. Kind of out of nowhere. I don't think anyone kind of expected this, especially after the World Cup, all the drama with U.S. soccer, the Reyna family, the Berhalter family.
I hate that you're showing this. Can you pull up the YouTube version?
I can. I didn't get that ready, but I can.
Well, because there's something I want to show you.
All right.
There's a reason why I want this, because I watched this. I watched most of it on the train here.
You're sure?
I'm not going to lie to you. It was kind of a boring...
It wasn't all fascinating, but it was just, to me at least, just the fact that he did the interview to begin with.
Also, the interviewer, Graham something?
I don't remember his name.
What a great interviewer.
He's
really good.
He really made, Pulisic feel comfortable.
Yeah, he asked like questions as if like how we would if we were professional. You know what I mean? You know, kind of like what you do. Really.
Right. Yeah.
Really. I think about it, it's more me.
What's all this we stuff?
You were like, you must be speaking French, my guy.
What is this? But what you wanted to show?
Click on the main one, the full.
This one here.
Yeah. Because there's something I just want people. We really got to get a premium account. This is ridiculous.
Okay, what did
when we skip the
ad?
Yeah, when we skip the ad, here we go, and then switch to the full screen because I want people to go to the next shot. Go to any shot where now see how close he is to the screen.
Yes.
Now go back to the first frame.
Okay. So let me. All right. I'll show it. Oh crap! I didn't set up the thing. Sorry.
Everybody. Oh really?
I'll set it up right now. Give me a second.
We're super professional. So most of you have probably seen the clips of the interview. This is the full sit down from ESPN FC. It's Graham Hunter who sits down, who I believe is Scottish, from his accent. Honestly. You think from the accent he doesn't know anything about Christian Pulisic. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so when did your home country start playing football? You know?
Sure.
But no, dude, it is a very well thought out. So we can see it now, right?
Yes, they can see
okay,
it.
Okay, see how close he is? Pretty mm-hmm. big. I got a big head, right? Okay. It's a pretty big head.
Okay.
Now go to the first frame.
Okay.
No, first frame.
This one.
Why is he so far away?
It's just.
It looks like a little child. Why is Graham so close? You can tell they adjusted the camera midway, but when I first saw it, I'm like, what a shocking like juxtaposition between how big Graham's head is and how look how far and tiny this man is in the shot. He looks like a little baby.
Yeah, they didn't crop in. I don't know.
Eventually, midway through, they zoomed in. They were like, yo, we can't keep this, but why would you leave this as the first shot?
I think they wanted to show the background, maybe the jersey in the back. It's a little jarring.
Yeah, but did you see how close Graham is? My guy is next to the freaking camera.
He looks like Dr. Evil. Like,
It's such a weird
weird
juxtaposition.
Well, look, I mean, look, these are the things that, you know, Alexis just notices that we don't, you're not really getting gal on the other shows.
No, they don't want this on CBS. They've told me clearly. They said this is more of a Cooligan's is that observation.
I think this might be too stupid for CBS.
Everyone in the production room feels bad for you. So this feels like maybe you shouldn't bring it up again.
Okay. So let's focus on, instead of what Christian Pulisic looks like, we'll focus on what he said during this interview.
Sit up straight, my boy.
Because he did.
Beautiful shacket. Overshirt.
Okay, you call wearing. It a shacket?
Shirt jacket.
I know what it's coming from, but, you know.
Just my boy Shaquille O'Neal, Shaquette O'Neal.
But let's focus on Christian Pulisic and some of his comments. So here we go.
For me, it's an interesting one because, like you said, I'm not here to appoint the next manager. It's not my job. Whoever it is, I'm going to play and give 100%, and that's what I'm going to do. But, in my opinion, it's everything that happened with Greg, first of all, is, I think, handled, in an extremely childish manner. I think we all have seen what's been going on. I think it's childish. It's youth soccer. You know, people complaining about playing time. I don't want to go too far into that, but that's what we'll say. I think Greg has been extremely unfortunate in the position to get even into the position he is now. Do I feel like we should just wait and I don't think it's necessary because I don't feel we're in a phase like we were after not qualifying for you.
All right, I just want to stop it here so we can just break down some of these comments.
Also,
because
at one point they zoomed in too far. Why are we up on my man's face like that, bro? How many cameras did you have on my guy?
I think it's just some clever editing. They just go from they punch in a little bit more. Okay, so let's focus on
Ben Skolnick goes, Alexis is big soccer question to Pulisic. Like, how many Lions can you take on at once? Are you the son by any chance?
I mean, he can take on three.
Yay.
We know that. So this is to my knowledge, the first player on the U.S. men's national team to really say anything about this at all.
Not true, because Gio Reyna released a statement.
Okay, sure.
So
sure,
he
sure.
said something about it because, it was his mom.
But he didn't. What did Reyna say? He just kind of was like, no, I'm focusing on playing. And
it was a little bit more than that. It was just
dismissive, like, let's move on with this.
He's the first one to talk about the fallout.
Right, as after the investigation from the U.S. soccer investigation. So,
and I want to read what Zachary Johnson said, because, again, he paid $10 for us to say this. Shout out to all the super chats. He said, Pulisic just bought her that the only coach that didn't challenge him got sacked. He's like, please, U.S., don't change the core. Here's the thing. He didn't get sacked. His contract ran out. He's still in the running for the job.
Right.
And two, he actually talks about in this interview how Berhalter did challenge him.
Yeah.
After a successful game, he said, I feel like you're not training hard enough. And he thought he was going in there to get praise, and he actually got a little bit of criticism.
Well, the specific point he was making was that Pulisic was constantly getting injured, and he was trying to figure out why. He said, maybe it's because you don't train as hard as you actually play, and that's why you're picking up a lot of these injuries. And he took that personally initially, and then realized, like, oh, maybe I need to be a little bit more serious about my training regimen.
He said that, and he also said that after that, he reached out to Danielle Reyna and said, release the text. He's turned it on me. And I can't have this. I feel like it's just not good for morale.
You can't blame him.
No, but to that, I mean, I get why Zachary Johnson, but this Zachary Johnson is specifically speaking from I'm kind of tired of hearing from Berhalter. I want someone new.
Yeah, there's a lot of Berhalter out.
Christian Pulisic is the opposite. He made it very clear that he wants or feels like, hey, we're doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can understand, you know, given that there aren't many people, especially players.
No one's sticking up for him.
That's sticking up for Greg Berhalter. So, and look, it's also not a wildly, like, ringing endorsement either. He's not saying, like, Berhalter is literally just the greatest manager we've ever had. He's just simply saying, like, why introduce some confusion or disorder right now when we have a good manager that's competent and could possibly... at least for now, keep us in going in the right direction. Maybe he's not the coach for the next World Cup, but it's still a good position to be in, especially and to have him there. So I think there's a little bit of, yo, what happened to Greg was like really messed up, and maybe we should like show a little bit more care about him possibly returning as manager. So it's a little bit of... You know, he didn't need to do this, right?
It's I feel like as, you know, as someone who can be captain and someone who is considered a de facto leader on the team, or at least someone who people look at as a leader on this team, it's almost his responsibility to say something positive mm-hmm. about the outcome. And I think the guy, the Graham Harper, whatever his name is, the interviewer, I think did an incredible job of saying, hey, he won two regional competitions and got into the knockout stages. That's rare, and that's a good outcome. That's a good coach anywhere else, but it seems to be negative. So it takes you. He couldn't pile on. It's not his job. But I feel like he's done a good job his entire career of sort of playing the middle, other than his Instagram likes, of playing the middle. You know what I mean?
My man is swiping all the way right.
Yeah.
on some of them Instagram posts.
Yeah, let's just say his shoulder's a little lower on the right-hand side because he seems to lean that way.
But for him to...
But he needed to say something that was like, hey, let's give him some credit. And I feel like that's what he did. He didn't say, hey, the Rainers are wrong or Gio's wrong or you guys are
wrong.
He said
childish.
This needs to be. Yeah, he said childish. He's kind of, and if you notice, he begins every answer with, you know, or like the thing is, and they're all, that's for people who've done public speaking, that's a cue that you're about to give us a cushioned version of what you really think, or you're about to give us the quote unquote right answer.
Yeah.
And he's not saying a lot of this from the heart. This was the one moment where I feel like he understood the point he wanted to get across, which is we need to be better. And Berhalter wasn't that bad. We don't need somebody new.
Because this interview does feel like a message. Oh, I'm thinking
a PR?
About,
it's a PR
no,
play?
No, not,
play?
Not PR, but it feels like
Dominican? Cuban? Which country is it?
It feels like a message to U.S. soccer. Like because you have to think about why did he do this interview at all? Because it's not necessarily benefiting him personally. He didn't come out of the World Cup looking bad. No one had any real criticism.
He also wasn't plugging nothing.
Right. If he had he does have a book, which...
yeah, but that's out already. Yeah, he dropped an album, you know what I mean?
Okay.
He wasn't in a movie.
An EP or something? What's going on, Christian?
Damn, son.
So it does feel a little bit like an intentional, this is how I'm going to get the message to U.S. soccer to, like, get their act together, find the technical director, get a coach, do something. And he's just making the point, like, yo, Greg did a great job, and not he's not completely saying like he's just a great manager, but it's like it's a little bit of a the best PR, the person that comes out best out of this interview is obviously Greg Berhalter, and it implies that you know, he kind of wants him back, right? And that I think a lot of people kind of took that from
at the very
from
least. I don't know if it implies that he wants him back. I think it implies he'd be happy to have him back, but it does imply that he benefits and benefited from his run as manager,
mm-hmm.
and that if he were to come back as the U.S. men's national team head coach, he would be happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think it leaves the door for him to, because there's a thing that's about, yeah, maybe this is seen as like a positive because he didn't have to give this, but then that just tells me he's trying to get himself, you know, above the fray, so to speak. He's putting himself... It might be hypercritical, but he's kind of putting himself above all of this. It's a bit childish. That's him saying, oh, that was them. You know, that's like when you refuse to say we. You know what I mean? You're saying that somehow the, you know, the musings of someone who's sleep deprived don't also involve you.
Pulisic is basically like, look, I'm half Croatian, you know? I don't know what these Americans really, you know, what they're about.
By the way, shocking based on his Instagram likes that he wouldn't want new people coming in.
David Morales in the chat just said, Tuchel is going to be the next USMNT coach just so he can bench Pulisic as is tradition.
It would be great if that man just followed Pulisic everywhere he went.
You don't get any playing time.
No. Right. He's going to have to hire Daniel Reyna as an agent, bro.
So look, the main points out of the 60 seconds we just played is the bigger talking points are him really saying this is childish and speaking positively about Greg Berhalter. The lineups for the Nations League matches came up. Pulisic is on there, so it's Gio Reyna.
Smiling coming off the bus, Gio Reyna.
Yeah, I look and to me, Gio Reyna is like he made the mistake he made by getting upset that he didn't get to play in that first match against Wales, he accepted responsibility. His teammates, spoke to him about it. The coaching staff spoke to him about it. He accepted accountability and responsibility. And then that obviously that's where it should end. And then everything else, to me, Gio Reyna has nothing to be ashamed of outside of just the way his parents behaved. But as far as a professional,
who among us isn't a little embarrassed about your mother sending threats? You know what I mean?
So that's why I think overall Gio Reyna can fit back in the team comfortably, even though, I mean, we know the locker room talk is going to be, you're roasting him heavy.
Yeah, but if anyone can handle it, it's Gio. Gio yips, bro.
I think so. So, yeah. But then it begs the question, because I think for, after what happened at the World Cup, everybody was like, yo, there's no way Greg can come back because it's just too ridiculous. It's a clown show.
There's always a way back.
Right.
Bro.
But then, and then after the report came out, after the investigation, I think more people were much more sympathetic to Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
And then now after this interview, I think it provides even more sympathy for Greg Berhalter to come back as coach. And it doesn't seem as crazy now after this interview that Greg Berhalter could be the USMNT coach again.
Do you think this gives... Because Pulisic is the kind of guy who doesn't do something unless, like, he doesn't ask a question he doesn't know the answer to. You know what I mean? He seems like one of those guys.
Yeah.
And this does feel a little bit like a PR play, if I'm being completely honest. But do you think this kind of means that there's some insight that he knows Berhalter is going to be given that chance again?
I don't think that because there's no technical director. There's not a hierarchy in place. Who's he gonna text to ask who's gonna get hired?
He right now is the highest person in US soccer.
I was gonna say, I wonder, is he speaking for some of the other players? You know, if they have said, Christian, you're like the leader, you're the face of the team, you know, maybe go and do this.
I could see that. Yeah.
Wouldn't he have said, we think it's a little immature? Not it's a little immature. It's a little mature is himself casting judgment.
Yeah,
for the right reasons.
Well, and he said childish. He didn't use the word immature, just to
sort of childish,
be
yes.
very clear about.
All right. What are you, CBS?
I am here to provide some level
Is
of.
Is there anywhere I could just get it wrong? I could just go on dumb tangents, talk about seeing the sun through your eyelashes. Give me a safe space.
Okay.
Yes, but he said it's childish. He didn't say we think it's childish. He goes, it is childish. That's him casting judgment. I would love to see other players say something, but also, like, I don't feel like you really gain anything by saying anything. I think at the end of the day, Berhalter is going to be judged. This will come into play for sure. But now that he's being sort of cleared via the investigation, he's going to be judged based on what he did. And again, I have to say, beating Mexico twice, beating Mexico in finals, getting into the knockout stages, you did good. You kind of, as far as I'm concerned, earned the next steps. You've certainly earned up until your sort of mid-tournament competitions, right? Like your Nations League, Gold Cup kind of time. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have to qualify, so if you don't see like a progress, you don't see a next step at that level... then you say to yourself, let me get someone in here who will bring us to the next step, because you're not going to have the grind of qualification to really test whether Berhalter is the right guy or not moving right. forward. And you have to ask yourself, did we see his ceiling?
Did we see Berhalter's ceiling?
Yeah, did we see all the tools in his toolbox?
I guess it sort of does feel that way. I like this from Mike Thomas. He said, it's crazy that sympathy would give Greg more of a chance, though. People were ready to have him fired purely on merit of his performance this cycle, and which I think is just a pretty harsh assessment of what he did. I mean, there's he couldn't have done much better. He could have maybe done better in qualifying to get in first. But the team that did finish first in qualification didn't get out of the group stages. The team that finished second in CONCACAF in qualifying didn't get out of the group stages. The U.S. did. So what is the barometer? Where do we say what is good enough? I guess if he beats Netherlands, then are we having this conversation?
God,
I mean, what? Like, seriously, that's the problem. Is like, what else could he really have done? Somebody in the chat, I think it was Zachary.
Honestly, it's like you got to beat Wales. That's kind of what's still sticking in people's mind. Not specifically, but if you look at it,
yeah.
You're right. Bird's eye view, the guy did everything he was supposed to do. But everyone's like, yo, but he didn't go for it against Wales. It's like, bro.
Yeah.
Let my guy cook. Oscar Ramirez, I want to read this because he paid $4.99 for me to say this. Thank you again for the super chat. Said, good thing for Gio is the locker room is changing lots of new faces. This use punctuation. lots of new faces. This window. The last World Cup squad, I don't see all making it to the next World Cup. Yeah, I guess you're right. There will be some turnover, and you're about to speak about someone you want to see on the squad, maybe?
Well, so...
segue, bro.
Well, I was going to ask one question before we move on. What do you think Gio thinks of this interview? Because as much as Pulisic didn't, like explicitly go after his parents, you know, he went on ESPN and he was like, hey, you guys were being all childish, like, kind of criticizing his family. Do you think he has a problem with it?
I don't think they get along.
Well, they did. They dapped each other up at the Champions League match.
Well, I was there, and let me tell you something. I don't know if the camera was on them a lot. It didn't seem...
It wasn't lovey-dovey?
Nah, not even lovey-dovey. Like, you know when players play with each other, but they're on different teams, they'll, like, lift each other, pat each other on the back or the butt or something? Mm-hmm. There was, like, a contentiousness in the way they interacted.
So this must be new, though, right? They weren't always like
Maybe
that.
Maybe it's because of this.
But the interview happened after that game.
It's because of this situation, the Berhalter.
I can see.
But it doesn't look like, from my perspective, and I was sitting next to other people who know of, you know, the situation, and I'm like, bro, it don't look like they get along. And they're like, no, it don't.
I mean, look, maybe this is a...
Again, I had a couple beers at this game.
couple Coors Lights.
You know, I drowned myself. Every time I saw a Blue Mountain, I went for a swig. You feel me? Let's just say that maybe my judgment was a little bit... Or was it stronger? You know?
Look, we can...
it's a great question, but I do think... I don't think Gio Reyna... is Pulisic's type dude. You know what I mean? Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
I
feel like they're two different personalities.
The one thing I can see is... I've heard this about Gio, that Gio's generally a very confident guy. Where he could come off as arrogant to some people.
He welcomes conflict.
Believes in himself...
He's a Jersey dude, bro.
He grew up in New York.
He grew up in Jersey. His dad went to St. Benedict's. Like, they're a Jersey family.
They're Jersey, but I think he grew up in New York. He was an NYCFC academy kid. Anyway, regardless.
Shout out Westchester, New York. He's one of us.
Yeah.
He's from New York?
Yeah, Westchester. Yeah, I think he grew up in New York, but...
Says he was born in Sunderland. Bro, this is the Sunderland coming out of him, bro. He looked disrespectful.
Confident, believes in himself.
He went to school in Greenwich, Connecticut. Bro, where's his attitude coming from, bro? pads on your blazer.
I could see how, you know, maybe some of the banter and stuff like that could maybe rub people the wrong way. But we met Gio. Gio was, I mean, incredibly, like, affable, very polite.
I One of my favorite interviews ever. In fact, we'd love to interview you again. I'm sure
you
have to not listen to the show in order for that to happen. Hey, not my fault. But I think because of his bravado, Pulisic and him feel like they wouldn't be best friends. They may get along, but it feels like they wouldn't be best friends. I've seen a lot of video of, you know, Pulisic and like McKenny hanging out. I ain't never really seen Gio Reyna out for milkshakes. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder who, best friends is a very high bar. Like, who is Pulisic really, really close friends with?
McKenny and Tyler, I think. I think those are his homies on the team.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Tyler and Weston, you can see their behavior. Obviously, now at Leeds, right. Clear. But I'm not taking sides necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of big personalities overall. I think a lot of players on the U.S. men's national team have a lot of respect for Christian Pulisic. So, in the general question about like how does Gio feel about this interview? I don't think this interview happens without him talking to Gio. That's all.
Nah.
I think...
You think Gio co-signed this? Yeah, go ahead. Talk your shit, my guy.
Not co-signed, but it to me would be so odd if he doesn't even...
I don't think so.
Talk to him a little bit, like, yo, I'm going to do an interview. Maybe I'm going to share my opinions. I don't know.
Well, Zachary Johnson threw another super chat in here.
Yo, Zachary out here.
Zachary really wanted to get his voice across. Thanks. He paid us $10 so that we could say this. I'm Team Gio. Again, he's speaking for Zachary Johnson, says he's Team Gio. As a Crew fan, he saw firsthand how Triple G handles altercations. He did my boy Kai Kamara dirty. Greg doesn't have his endorsement.
Okay.
So he's holding on to some MLS beef.
Okay.
When it comes to
this. Ain't letting go.
Nah. Look, I don't think Greg Berhalter is a saint. I don't think he's gotten every decision he's made right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to say, here's what I think you've done wrong. The one thing you can say is there's better tactical managers out there. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one where I'm like, okay, who? Because the name I keep hearing is Jose Mourinho. And you want to rip this whole fucking thing down, dude?
As far as every U.S. men's national team coach that we've had, at least in my memory, from when I really started paying attention to U.S. men's national team, I would say Greg is the most progressive manager we've had to try to make our players do things they're probably not 100% comfortable with. Playing out of the back, playing a bit more possession.
Yeah.
That's really never been the ethos of the U.S. men's national team.
Well, I mean, he's the most tactically progressive manager we've ever had, and that's including Jurgen Klinsmann, I think.
I 100% agree. Yeah,
I would say so. You know, someone said that like four of the last five managers or like only three of the last 25 years were the U.S. men's national team not coached by someone from the New York, New Jersey area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they ended up with, like, it's their fault. I'm like, damn, son.
Somebody mentioned... So
Camilo Garcia said, yo, Zach got money.
Okay, this is...
But you're spending it in the right place.
Exactly. We're finally attracting, you know, a more affluent fan base.
We were going to just start talking about technology.
Okay. Welcome to MKBHD.
Yo,
okay.
We're MKB4K.
Okay. Anyway.
Bro, we're going to go to Carney and Rob when they shut down the studio.
We love the YouTube folk. Thank you so much. Okay. So somebody did mention about new faces in the U.S. men's national team. Alex Zendejas also, who made the official switch.
25. Didn't you think he was younger than that?
I did think he was younger.
Yeah, 25. Bro, you ain't no spring chicken. It's about time you make a decision, bro.
But he made the switch from Mexico to the U.S.
Or he picked the team. He didn't make a switch. He picked the team.
Right. That was like a weird thing of he was like...
Did you hear Tata Martino said that he had told him he would pick Mexico if he could guarantee him World Cup starting? And he said that he was trying to leverage or like bribe him.
Wow.
Or whatever it was, like blackmail him or whatever. And he was like, Zendejas was like, I would do nothing of the such. And immediately I was like, I like this guy.
So gonna fit right in at the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah,
he's blackmailing coaches.
Have you met the Reynas?
So the one point I wanted to make, obviously I'll get the roster up in a second.
I thought you were
gonna
talk about Fellaini.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So Fellaini Balogun is the obviously he can play for England.
Chris Chris Matassa said, Christian, quote, finally, no more bums in the chat. it feels nice and rich around here.
That's what I meant. Thank you for
thank you for paraphrasing.
So Balogun,
they also say Zach is the first Blangolan billionaire.
Finally,
the nation is on the come up.
We have our audience. Balogun did obviously in the recent call ups for the international break. You know, he was not called up for England. And
no, but he did unfollow the English national team.
Right. So he's playing in France for Reims. And I believe he's the leading goal scorer in
Ligue 1. He's tied for third now.
Oh, really?
But he scored a 17th.
Yes.
And Mikel Arteta came out and said they can't wait to have him for the preseason tour, which means the boy coming home.
Exactly.
But will he come to his birth home?
So he can represent England, United States, and I believe Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
So he didn't get called up for England.
Didn't he get called up for the U21? Can you check on that, Mike?
Yeah.
I believe he got called up for the England under-21s.
Oh, okay.
But I think he turned it down.
Yeah, because he put out an Instagram story, and I don't have it in front of me, but he essentially said, like, go where you're wanted or go where you're appreciated.
He was called up to the U21s, but actually half an hour ago he pulled out of the U21s.
Well, I think he already said he wasn't going to do it, but I guess it's just official as of half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but you're listening to this obviously the next day. There you go. In life, go where you're appreciated. Be easy. The wind being blown emoji, bro.
Wow.
And he was like, boom. He said, F the king, bro.
So, look, you know, he there's not much more he can do to get on the radar. Obviously.
I just feel like he's a freedom of speech guy. You know what I mean?
Bro.
Here's what I was saying. Obviously, Malik Tillman, you know, scored an incredible goal after he said he was injured and then couldn't go to the men's national team camp because he said he was injured, but still played this weekend for Rangers,
which
is hilarious. But Malik Tillman, having an incredible start, 20 years old, maybe a little bit raw right now. We haven't seen enough. Dude, Folair and Balogun, that guy starts.
Without a doubt.
That guy is your starting striker in the men's national team.
Mm-hmm.
What are you waiting for, Folair, bro?
So that's the, you know, somebody did mention, your boy, Thierry Henry, has been in conversation, and the stories are out. Speaking of PR, because there's clearly a push, right?
You think Thierry's like, you want Falern? You gotta hire me. Which means I become an assistant, right?
Okay, I'm there. I'm the water boy at this, on the sideline. No, this is because of Balogun.
Oh, you're coming in the check bag, bro. I'm gonna find a way to get you.
I'll be there. I'll do whatever
bro,
I gotta do.
A little air hole for you, a little straw.
Okay. It was Nico Cantor, I believe, on the Champions League coverage when Thierry Henry was there. And then the conversation, I think he asked him or somebody did ask him about the vacancy for the U.S. men's national team position. And
I think
Jamie
joked with him and he covered his face. That was the first one.
And see if he would be interested. And Thierry Henry didn't, you know, deliver a resounding no.
I think in the background he's been having some conversations.
I could see it. And I think a lot of people think, maybe Thierry Henry is the manager for the U.S. men's national team. Balogun is maybe a little bit more intrigued at this project.
Well, hold on a second, because new name has emerged.
Ooh.
Patrick Vieira.
Okay, yeah.
Just got sacked. So they could hire a 75-year-old white guy.
Because
something feels racist. I'm just gonna say it, bro. You went from a French guy to a Brexit guy. I don't know anything about Roy Hodgson, by the way. It feels like the wrong way, bro.
The optics of it, and just to like add some credibility to what you're saying, is instead of just making fun of it, it's just like there aren't many black managers in the Premier League, so it always feels like, what? He wasn't doing that bad.
Nah, so, not for Roy Hodgson.
The corpse. They exhumed the corpse of Roy Hodgson.
Yeah. Just the man. He unretired him. They unretired him twice. This is the second time he's had to come out of retirement. Let that boy have his jello, man.
Kirby D in the chat says, I love Henri, but no.
First of all, do not talk about my friend like that. You will be banned.
So that's an interesting thing because Henri, obviously, we know a legendary player, but his coaching, resume, I got to speak, you know, nice about your boy.
Yeah. Talk easy because I'm within smacking distance, bro. I got you, Thierry.
So, that's been a lot of the criticism. A lot of people, some people have even said, I've seen people say, like, they would want Henri there for the vibes. They don't even believe.
He brings vibes.
He brings vibes. They're like, I don't even care how he does. They're just like,
I want to present something to you before you finish your sentence. The World Cup is going to be in our country. Mm-hmm. We have to present an extremely marketable club or team.
Oh, team, sure.
Right? I love you, Berhalter, but you don't really move the needle. You know what I mean? On the TMZs, if you will. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Thierry Henry might be one of the coolest human beings ever exist. Right?
Without a doubt.
Just second only to me. You know what I mean? Okay. That's a tough list right there, boy. I got an idea for you. I got an exclusive. Both of them.
Oh, both of them?
Both of them, bro. I'm dead serious. What if you hire Thierry Henry as the head coach, Patrick Vieira as the assistant coach?
That was just... sure, just bring all the Invincibles.
Vieira do it? Probably not.
Probably not.
But would the vibes be infinite?
The vibes would be... Well, I mean, just start a Claire LaFontaine Academy out in Wisconsin.
You might as well get Pope in there. Just see.
Yo, another French national team. I'll take it.
Bro.
I'm
being serious.
I mean...
Could you convince Vieira to be an assistant coach with Thierry Henry?
I'd say this. I would be, I guess I could wrap my head around Patrick Vieira being the manager more than I can wrap my head around Henri being the manager.
But Thierry is suave. He brings the cameras.
He did it, though, with the Belgian national team. He was the assistant to Roberto Martinez.
But I think he's ready for, like, a real opportunity.
How did they do? How did Belgium do?
I have alternative facts.
We could put the responsibility on Roberto Martinez, sure.
We could also put the responsibility on Lukaku for getting how to play the sport. I think that's a big one.
But even, look, I guess as far as connecting with players, I feel like Henri would have a good... that would probably be his strength. But as far as tactically, I think I would lean on Vieira more.
Yeah, but Vieira don't really...
Didn't we talk about this?
He don't get the blood flowing the way Henri does. He's not as good a hugger is really what I'm trying to say.
Henri
went inside the jacket. I don't think y'all peeped that.
We have direct, firsthand experience.
Yeah. This is not anecdotal.
Henri and his hugging style. So we know what he offers there. He does, we've confirmed, he does go under the jacket. It's obviously always a good move. He loves Alexis' sneakers.
Right. Let's talk about this. Has Patrick Vieira ever touched my socks? The answer is no. So I think the decision has been made.
I'm looking for the photo, the hug. And look,
inside the jacket.
Inside. You didn't need to do that.
He didn't need to do that. He saw the wings coming up and he went in. He tucked in.
Okay.
Look at me nuzzling as far into his neck as I possibly could, bro.
So, essentially...
Say, Tali said, what kind of blood flowing are you talking about, Alexis? I'm just saying it's flowing. You decided what specific
area. Thierry Henry comes with a subscription to Hims.
Yo, Zachary Johnson just... burning through his kids' his kids' inheritance. Paid $5 for us to say this. Zachary Johnson says, I want Antonio Conte as manager. The look at those boys' faces when he shreds him in the locker room. Also, Oguchi Anyanwu as sporting director, which actually might happen.
We spoke about that. I think I was with Eli Lesser. I think I spoke about that with. But the...
I'd love to see it. No one's talking no type of smack when Oguchi Anyanwu's around.
Remember, he broke Zlatan's rib.
Yeah, man. You don't mess with Iguchi. Any beat Micah at
arm wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's a beast, bro. Dude, I'm not saying no to him.
Have you seen the arm wrestling whisperer? Have you heard of this guy?
No, you on TikTok too long, bro.
Dude, have you heard of him?
He knows some deep cuts on TikTok, bro.
This guy, they call him the arm wrestling whisperer. He looks like what was the movie with Sylvester Stallone? The arm
Over
wrestling
the top.
Over the top. He's
great
like,
movie.
It's one of those. He goes to arm wrestling competitions, but he mics himself as he's arm wrestling people, and he like whispers at them. He's like, "Oh wow, you're really strong. Wow, oh my god, you're so much stronger than I thought." Right? Yeah. And he like almost seduces them. Some of these dudes are wild strong and clearly big dudes, and he just demolishes them.
Can
anyway.
I give you some advice? Go outside. Go outside, my guy.
No, nah, man, this man brings me peace,
bro. You got too much every time in this, bro.
Anyway. We got to make sure before we keep talking about the U.S. men's national team and all the drama, we'll obviously get
because
into,
it's time to relax.
It's time to relax. Everybody needs a little bit of break during the show. Even the Cooligans need to relax from time to time. Mm.
And, you know, there's only one way to relax, right? When I was at the Champions League game, I said, bro, the tension of this Champions League, you know, I need to relax. And then I look over.
I need
over,
the blood flowing.
You know? I need a calma, man, bro. And I look over and I see this beautiful blue mountain. Mm. And I said, bro, is that a Coors Light that's ready to drink because it's nice and cold? Because if it is, I know I can relax. And boom, that's exactly what it was. It was time to chill, baby.
Exactly. You know, it's the best way. When I'm watching the arm wrestling whisperer and just, you know. It really straddles the line of, you know, just like fun TikTok content and softcore pornography. It's a healthy straddle. It's a healthy line to be on. Nobody really knows where if you hear the content, you're like, oh, it could be, and maybe not. He wouldn't do this on the subway.
You pick some really creative ways to relax.
I watch my favorite TikToks with a nice ice cold Coors Light.
It's literally made to chill.
Correct. So Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold package.
That's a lot of cold.
Quite cold. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's right. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado.
Okay. Let's go. Okay. Next up. MLS All-Star Game has been announced. It is happening a little earlier than usual. It's happening in July, right? I think July 9th, if I'm not mistaken. And we know who is...
Please tell me you ain't playing this whole thing.
I am not playing the whole thing. Thank God. We got to play a couple seconds of it because it's quite entertaining. They made an announcement.
No, you know what this video is? You know when someone who isn't funny goes, you know what would be funny? That's the whole thing.
I mean,
thing.
You know, MLS, we're just a couple blocks away, guys. Y'all can hit us up.
You didn't even have to pay us. You could have just sent us a script and said, what y'all think? And we would have told you no.
So Arsenal has been announced as the opponent for the MLS All-Star Game. Wayne Rooney is going to be the manager for the MLS All-Stars. The game is going to be held at Audi Field as well. Arsenal and MLS, they announced the game by doing a little, this is the pitch for the sketch. The sketch is...
You know how we get upset when people say skits?
Yes.
No, this is a
skit.
This ain't no sketch. This you could call a skit.
They had Matt Turner, Gabriel Martinelli, and Eddie Nketiah. They had basically Matt Turner do a classroom session, and it was a
explaining the rules of MLS because you need to know that for the All-Star Game.
He's just giving an MLS 101, saying like, "Hey, this is the MLS All-Star Game. We're watching a little bit of it. I'm gonna I'll play some of the sound so you guys can hear for a bit."
But you know, focus.
All right, mate.
So you guys know that MLS supporters, they go pretty hard and they're extremely creative. They use TIFOs often before games, like this one here in Austin. And then, of course, this one, which means something pretty special to me.
Is that supposed to be you, bro? The beard looks a bit better in the pictures than it does in real life, but just my opinion.
Let's move on to...
Okay, so already... So the angle was...
Nobody likes Matt Turner.
Let's roast the American on the team. Yeah. But you can see when Eddie Nketiah delivers that line, that was probably the 20th time he delivered that line.
They said, humor. Give me another emotion. He said, I ain't got another emotion, bro.
And it's not to suggest, like, I'm not going to expect incredible,
yeah,
impeccable comedic timing from you know, from footballers, but
this ain't James Judy Gench or whatever.
James Judy Gench?
Yeah, my brain stopped working 7 seconds.
Sounds like it just your favorite author.
Yo, that is the queen of Blangola, bro.
So that's it. You go watch it on the MLS, you know, all the MLS channels. But
we showed you the best part.
We showed you the best. They roasted. You know, Matt Turner. I thought the first. So you know, when the angle of like when you're looking at the all the bits, or how do we escalate this sketch? If this is sketch comedy 101. You find the funny thing, and
the
then
third
you,
one also has to be funny.
Yeah, you have to escalate the humorous thing. But that was the where they started. They started at this is the thing that we have to explain to the Premier League players.
TIFOs. Something that started in Europe.
Right? And so that is the one that's like a little bit... It's already starting in a strange... like they're dumb. Like, yeah, we're talking to them like they're dumb. And to me, it kind of... and this is getting too like comedy nerdish, but it's a little bit.
Where else are you gonna go for this?
Right,
ain't talking about this on 360.
It sets the precedent or sets the tone at like, MLS is so weird that we have to like explain it to you.
But there's reasons for that. Like, if you started with Tam or some other things like
that's
that.
That's where I would go.
Yeah.
Go with weird things or whatever. Yeah. But you know,
playoffs.
Playoffs.
Great way to go.
So I'll say this. A lot of people, there's some people like, yo, this is great. I love that Arsenal's doing this, right? And then there's some people that are like,
Arsenal fans. Like, why are you doing this?
There's some people that are like, this is making me cringe so hard. I think I developed an ulcer, right? Uh-huh. There's some of those people.
We're going that way. And right? Some people are whispering. That's you.
In general, I'm a huge fan of this because I think even cringe content coming from from footballers, is there's really no negative. It's almost all publicity. Any publicity is good publicity.
The attempt in itself is new. There would have been an era where they were too good to do this.
I applaud it. I am not here to judge. I'm just getting you. You know, this is the only soccer show that's hosted by two stand-up comedians. So we're gonna get into like the weeds of it a little bit and give as much constructive criticism as we can. But overall, I applaud MLS. I applaud Arsenal for allowing themselves to be a little bit silly. And this, if you watch the whole thing, there's a couple of nice little roasts, a couple of jokes here and there. But
yeah, also Gabriel Martinelli just comes out as like a little choir boy, man. He's just like a sweet little bird, you know.
He's they both. It's sweet overall. He did a joke about where Matt Turner says, oh, we have a thing called Player of the Week. And he's like, is it Thierry Henry?
Yeah,
like, no, you say that every week. About.
And he's like, he's a legend. He's the best.
It's just like, so what is he, 9 years old?
There's like a way to play that. And right. I think they must have cut something.
They do another joke about Walker Zimmerman. They show a picture,
like Thor.
And he looks like Thor. And then this is also a comedy no-no. In stand-up as well. And Nketiah said in it twice in the sketch. And then the first one was like, oh, that's kind of cute. He's throwing that little bit of English. But then he says it again.
Yeah, but that's an actual colloquial. Like, that's actually how they speak.
But in,
I gave up on that word very quickly. I don't have the dexterity right now.
But the second time he says it, it feels so forced. It feels like that's the punchline.
I didn't read that.
I was just like, oh, why is he?
I didn't read that.
Why is he leaning into the English so hard?
No, I think it was like they were forced to say, oh, I love to see him and Big Gabby go after him. Right. No, you wouldn't. You don't respect Walker Zimmerman. Shut up.
My favorite joke about Walker Zimmerman was when he said, you may have seen us at the World Cup. You may have seen me and him playing together at the World Cup. And Kete goes, man, this guy's always talking about the World Cup.
He just keeps talking about the World Cup.
I was like, bro, yes. That's
he
a good
was
one.
There. You wasn't.
Bro, sorry.
Where was you, my guy, on your couch?
That's what Matt should have said,
100%. Lean in, bro.
Oh, interesting, because I was playing at the World Cup. I didn't see you there, Eddie.
Damn, Eddie. Was your phone not working? Because I was saying, meet me at the TCBY in Qatar, and you wasn't there.
Boom. Okay. That's how you go back at this European condescension.
You wasn't there, isn't it?
Dog. But no, again, still great to see. I love that they're, you know, even MLS, even Arsenal, that they agreed to it and to try something fun and silly. That very much applaud their efforts in this. Okay. Okay, a couple other things. I wanted to just show the U.S. men's national team roster and go over it very quickly as soon as I can find the actual actual roster. Here we go.
I'm excited for this.
I don't know if there's any
I'm
names.
I'm going to fall asleep in the Uber, bro.
If there's any names that were a bit of a shock. I know Tyler Adams, he was a scratch because he had a hamstring injury.
Nice to see Daryl Dike back. Nice to see Ricardo Pepe.
Yeah,
you know, after the hang up of the phone heard around the world, he's back. Yunus Musa, incredible. Want to see him continue.
Zach Steffen also returning, which is also big.
And look, anyone's really talked about what happened with him missing the World Cup. But there were rumors of like one, his injury had not really fully healed, mm-hmm. and two, maybe there was some like, you know, personal reasons why he was staying out, or he had to kind of. You know, whatever. There were some personal reasons that might have kept him out after that of the U.S. men's national team makeup. Whatever it is, I'm happy to see him back.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see him getting that opportunity again.
Daryl DK also makes a return.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
We haven't seen him quite a while.
Austin Trusty.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Finally. Dude, yeah, he looked so good. For Birmingham City.
I think, I wouldn't say not long overdue necessarily, but he's had he was sold to Arsenal and he is now, he's on loan.
He's on loan in Birmingham City. Yeah.
I mean, imagine he plays for Arsenal, bro. He might be at the.
He's like good enough.
At the preseason, right?
Yeah. I don't know if he's good enough to start right now. Shown he's a capable defender.
It would be fascinating to see. Taylor Booth also getting his first. Where did he come? Taylor Booth came from where?
Where is he right now? I forget where he is now.
He's getting his first.
He plays in the Netherlands for Utrecht.
Utrecht, that's right.
Okay. Cliff Soccer Zone said, "Trusty the process." Let's go. And Ice Cobra said, "Do we think Miles will be able to get back to his pre-injury level?" Miles Robinson. Also, obviously, getting called up again. He was definitely going to the World Cup, and then obviously tore his Achilles.
There's only one way to get back to that, and it's like, you know, like especially camps and competitive games. So this is a great opportunity.
Well, the look and the fact that Atlanta United are first in the Eastern Conference probably suggests that he is on the way there. And to only. Hold Portland to one goal.
Not looking good this year, bro.
Yeah, we have to go through a couple of these MLS teams. I mean, I know, you know, Andrew Wiebe on MLS wrap up does the stock up, stock down. But I think at this point, we just...
Really creative name.
I don't know if he came up with it, but that's what they do on there.
Are y'all even trying, bro?
But the I think we should start a segment of just something like, bro, I'm just worried about this team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting a little worried.
Yeah.
Portland is one of those teams that I think should lead this segment.
Dude, Portland's not looking good. I mean, you know, they got bodied by St. Louis, and we thought that was, whatchamacallit? Who did St. Louis beat the first week they beat Austin? Never mind. But they just lost 5-1 to St. Louis.
To Atlanta.
To Atlanta?
Yeah.
Who did St. Louis beat?
St. Louis beat...
they beat Portland, didn't they?
I think they played... I don't remember their fixtures. I don't remember all of them. Maybe somebody in the chat could.
Yeah, someone tell me. They did. Yeah,
they beat Portland 2-1. Yes.
I thought Portland, they slipped up. It's St. Louis. It looks like St. Louis is the real team, although I don't think this will continue. But it looks like Portland is not who we thought they were, bro.
I know they're dealing with a few injuries, but they've looked
a few. They have like six. They have like Jimmy Chara, a bunch.
Yeah, they. But to lose 5-1, it's just not a really, really bad look. I mean, they've not historically been a poor defensive team, and this just doesn't. This just doesn't look like a Gio Savarese team. You know, he's been there, 5 years or something like that, 4 or 5 years, and obviously made the playoffs every time, made the MLS Cup final 2 times. And so this is like kind of a shock to see this season.
Yeah, but also, I mean, it's the beginning of the MLS season, bro. The first 10 matches don't really matter.
Again, I don't know why. You say that every year, but...
That is true.
I think, look... But
there's a lot of time.
St. Louis is leading in the Supporter Shield standings. Does that suggest that it doesn't
matter?
That ain't
real, bro.
Well, yeah, let's talk about this because I know that there's been a lot of differing opinions on what St. Louis is doing and how they're getting it done. They've won 4 games in a row. Their first four. The first expansion team in Major League Soccer to win their first 4 games, and it's
their first two they were the ball was passed to them in front of the goal.
Right.
I mean, are they pulling a Barcelona and buying the reps?
Yeah. They made who was okay. So let's see. Let's just focus on the teams that they did beat. They beat Austin.
They beat
on
Austin,
the road.
Who's not good this year. They got beat by a Haitian team that hasn't played in over almost a year.
Okay.
With players that aren't even a part of that team. Because they had visa issues. Charlotte, not a good team this year. Portland, clearly not a good team this year. San Jose, never been a good team.
But San Jose had that's a bit of a surprise too, because San Jose has looked pretty good. They have to have a new manager in Lucci. But a few people are essentially like they're frauds, but they're like this isn't realistic of what it's going to look like at the end of the season.
It's a bit of a Cinderella run right now. But, I mean, give them credit, right? They hired their coach like a year before they had a team. Uh-huh. Guys like, what do I do? And they're like, I don't know. Go be coach, bro.
I spoke about this with Jillian about, obviously the sporting director is Lutz Pfannenstiel, who is a homie. Mm-hmm. We've spoken to him a couple times. And he is a Bundesliga manager. Or at least he has a Bundesliga philosophy that he is clearly bringing to the team.
Well, Bradley Carnell, I believe is the coach's mm-hmm. name, comes from that Ralph Raniak, Ralph Ball, Red Bull
right.
system. So, and they're gegenpressing, which you're seeing. And I think it works better in MLS, where not every player you're going to confront has the capability of getting out of that pressure. So it kind of plays to your strengths.
Yeah, this dude, the striker, Joao Klaus,
is the most German-Brazilian dude you've ever seen.
It's a mashup of
Giselle Bundchen's brother. This dude is
a fascinating player, because he's just like, he's a straight-up target, big, send it to the big man.
Yeah, he's kind of a clumsy type dude, right? There's not.
I wouldn't say that.
He's not saucy. He just kind of gets it done.
He does.
He reminds me of like Mitrovic or like Berbatov or Michu.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Olivier Giroud a little bit. He's got the big body.
But
scores.
Giroud is like ballet. Yeah, this guy is like, you know, a construction worker falling off of a ladder, but getting up and going, I'm not hurt. You know? That's kind of how it feels.
What they're doing is just super impressive. And he looks great. Gioacchini just, I think, scored his first goal.
Gioacchini out there for the vibes, bro. Gioacchini looked good, but in a way where he's like, I can't believe the ball's in my feet now.
Look, they've had 2 home games, and it's already, we got invited to St. Louis. We got to figure out a way to go.
Going until they started winning.
I'm like, oh, okay.
All of a sudden, I feel inspired.
I thought y'all were going to be in last, most expansion teams, but all, you know, not. You look a little bit more intriguing. A nice core Bruce said St. Louis look legit. Weird AF to see for an expansion team. It is, especially the home games. I'm not used to an expansion team. I guess maybe Atlanta kind of started it. Seattle.
Atlanta
a little bit, but when
Seattle was like the fans were why you showed up.
It's like the home games for expansion teams, especially the first year, are not initially that intimidating because usually everybody's still trying to figure stuff out. But it's just that the fact that St. Louis has their stadium, it's gorgeous. Like Charlotte would be the opposite where they're playing in a football stadium.
Yeah, in fact, remember when Atlanta started, they were at the Bobby Dodd Stadium, which was a little bit smaller, a little bit more intimate. So that home field advantage really started
there.
Yeah,
because look, even Charlotte,
Charlotte's like in a big NFL stadium. It's a little tough to make that.
Charlotte sold out their first game. They played LA Galaxy, their first home game, and they lost that game. So there's something like, that's what you sort of expect. No matter how big the spectacle is, it's still an expansion team and they're still figuring stuff out. But I have to give credit to, Fran and Steele and the coaching staff in that they had a philosophy. They're like, yo, we're just going to be another Bundesliga team, essentially. And
said it on our show. Yeah, He's like, we're going to be an everyman team. We're going to work hard. We're not going to bring in the big names. Although that might not be true. You know, he is the guy who discovered Bobby Firmino.
Yeah, that was one of the rumors that Firmino might
come to
St. Louis in the summer, which would be absolutely fascinating.
It would be wild.
With Jao Klaus playing the way he's playing, Firmino, I don't even think has minutes.
Put him behind. Make him the number 10.
Maybe. I don't know.
That'd be an interesting combo, Firmino and Klaus together. That'd be dangerous.
I'm sure Firmino's waited his whole career
to play with Joao Klaus.
So, okay. Somebody in the chat that said, don't look over the Austin FC Violette game. Because we should talk about that because it was pretty historic, obviously. Violette at Athletic Club, I believe it's called. We talked about the first leg with Eli. But now this second, like after they lost,
they parked that bus, bro. They didn't like get the ball away from me.
They only had three subs.
Yeah.
Right. So that was already the big storyline because they couldn't get a visa for all their players, which is also just such a ridiculous, like, why can't, as soon as you qualify for Champions League, why isn't the first step like CONCACAF and each club being like, all right, does everybody have their paperwork? Can we sort this all out now? Yeah, you know, months in advance. It seems wild to me that this is a scenario. I know maybe the rosters are not like settled till January, but like have somebody handle this stuff. This is crazy.
If you're in the squad, you should at least have the access to play the games.
Totally.
I think this is another situation where like the U.S. doesn't understand soccer. So the people in those offices that help with the visas are like, you're coming here to play a soccer game? They probably think it's children. They're like, the CONCACAF Champions League. Never heard of it, bro. But I hope your kid wins.
Right. So Austin did lose this game. They lost the second leg 2-0. So they lose 3-2 on aggregate. And it's just... Look, it's embarrassing because they lose. Did you see that? You saw the own goal from Amaro Tarek and the game was held in a stadium I've been in, the Cibao FC Stadium in Dominican Republic, because the infrastructure and there's obviously still a lot of stuff going on in Haiti. It's still recovering from the earthquake and a bunch of other stuff, political stuff with their president.
As unfortunate as that is.
Yeah. So they didn't play the game in Haiti And clearly Austin just did not, they just didn't take it seriously. Josh Wolf was like, oh, no, we got it.
We'll be all right.
And we're like, oh, man, we are 100% not I. Yeah. Which is odd.
This feels less than I.
But the second leg, they obviously start a much stronger side. Drewsi gets two goals. There was, I believe, a third goal that was taken back.
Weren't both of his goals in the second half, though? Didn't they still look trash in the first half?
Yeah. There was also a penalty call or non-penalty call where Jazzy Zardes, to me, seems like he got fouled, but it could have been a, like, you know, they were both going for it. Don't know. Unfortunate, but more than anything, it's the first leg. It's like,
yeah, man.
If you score one goal against...
Violette already knew what they were going to do in the second leg. They're like, bro, we just ain't going... We don't need to score.
I mean, look...
We just got to stop them from scoring three times.
Also, if they don't give up the own goal in where Tarek just kicks the ball into his own net, right? Which is ridiculous. But if they just score one against them in Dominican Republic, then this 2-0 result has them moving forward. I had tweeted out that essentially that this is such a big story for Violette that you know, they beat an MLS giant. I use that word. I said they defeating an MLS giant for a Caribbean
and I'm
team.
I'm sure everybody took that healthy. And
everybody was like, what did you just say, sir?
How dare you? Columbus Crew fans must have been irate.
Everybody is hung. And I use the word giant in quotes intentionally. Because relative to...
Violette, they are.
They are. That is not a crazy statement to make.
Hooligans FC is a giant.
So the fact that Violette accomplished this, and then there was another Motagua that beat Pachuca, which is another a Honduran team beating a Mexican team, is also fascinating.
It's huge.
So these are huge, huge stories, and it is like... remarkable for like when I went to
you saw them celebrating. This is like one of the biggest things that's ever happened.
And that's the thing is like even MLS fans don't understand how far the league has come.
No,
that to other clubs in the world, MLS clubs can be.
Well, you're the one with all the money.
These are the Galacticos to us. Yeah, yeah. So you have to just embrace the fact that MLS has actually. Started from one point and gotten to another,
right,
where the world is actually respecting the league and its talent and its quality.
It's an impressive place to be. But again, I would be maybe a bit more impressed if we didn't lose to teams like Violette. But shouts to them. I mean, this is an incredible moment for that coach, for those players. This is a story they'll be talking about their whole lives.
I think there's been a lot of just underestimating. I think from Josh Wolf's part, he underestimated that this team would show up. And it's like one of those things I'm like, bro, did you watch any game tape of the team? Like, why feel
though?
That's a good question.
This was their first game in 260 something days, bro.
I mean,
was there
wasn't
game
that
tape?
Long ago? They had to have something. There has to be. Look, because to field the lineup that he fielded
showed a lack of respect for the opponent.
A little bit, yeah. Or just maybe it wasn't even respect, just ignorance of like, oh no, we got this. This team can do this.
Oh, this will be easy,
right? Yeah. And I think after the loss to St. Louis in the opener, I think maybe Josh Wolf is like maybe in his head a little bit like, oh, maybe I need to focus on and prioritize some of these MLS matches a little bit more because this one's going to be easy. And it's just it's been a rocky start because I think that loss to St. Louis messed them up. Then they lost to Houston. They don't have the same like swagger that they had last year. They were literally one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They got to the Western Conference final, right? Last year?
So. Yeah. No, incredible team, but you look past your opponent.
Yeah.
What do they call those in like basketball and baseball? They're like trap games?
Yeah, trap games.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say with Austin FC too, it just seems like they're entirely reliant on Sebastian Drewsy to initiate their attack. They're like, he's scoring all their goals. He's assisting.
He
all
is their
goals.
Attack right exactly. now. Yeah. Especially when you got guys like Fagundes and stuff, you'd expect that
not
to be the
case. They got rid of Musa Gite, right? From last season.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And look, I think we're learning, you know, you bring in Jazzy Zardes, your team is a little bit different. You know, and it just changes the team a little bit.
No disrespect.
But it's just the team is a little bit different. And it's like, I think, an adjustment period for sure. Okay, the other team I wanted to talk about, because I don't know if Kevin is still, Kevincho is still in the chat, but Sporting Kansas City did lose to FC Dallas. And I guess now the questions have to start about what is going on with Sporting Kansas City. Is it simply... you know, they don't have all their players yet.
Right.
Pulido's not really back. Is it that they just can't catch a break? I mean, that penalty and then to get stopped twice, I think hurts
Why are you doing this to Kevincho?
It hurts
your
heart. But I want to give props to Kevincho because he did a vlog. Where I guess media got invited to like a media day thing to Sporting Kansas City, to the training ground and talking to other players. And Daniel Shalloway, when he went up to go speak to General Shalloway was like, bro, why are you so negative? Why are you so negative? We're trying our best to do negative. And it's like, all right, well, At some point, Daniel, you got to hold your end of the bar.
Yeah, look in the mirror, bro.
I mean, I think he's somewhat justified in being a little bit negative because these results have been really, really disappointing.
But I don't like it when players or teams look at like the content creator and say, why are you doing this? It's a reaction to how you're playing.
Exactly. Yeah. You could.
So you could change this by playing better.
You can, you know, lift my spirits whenever you decide.
This is like the argument that like a lot of Arsenal fans are like, oh, AFTV made the team worse. And it's like, no, they didn't.
No,
they didn't. They were a mirror to the fan base. You may not like what you see.
Totally.
But that they are the fan base. They're there. You may have said they made it more toxic. You might have an argument there. Maybe people felt like they needed to embellish how they felt in order to get views or whatever. But for the most part, these are people in the stands and this is how they feel. So Gavincho is a fan. This is how he feels.
Totally.
If he was winning, he wouldn't feel this way.
So it was a look. I'm hoping they catch a break. They scored their first goal. Shallowy, great goal. A bit of a deflection, but nonetheless, it looked amazing. So hopefully, this is the beginning of them turning it around. But overall, they just wildly disappointing for sure.
Well, off the pitch. Too. They're fighting with their fans. Have you seen the thing with the cease and desist with the Soccer Capital podcast?
Yeah, I saw this tweet.
I haven't been able to figure out what's going on.
So,
but I figured we'd talk about it.
There was a St. Louis City, all speculative because I don't know all the details, but there was a St. Louis podcast, a St. Louis City podcast called Soccer Capital, something along those lines. And Sporting Kansas City, their like department sent a cease and desist, essentially, to them saying, like, that is trademarked. Soccer Capital is like a Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City thing.
Right. Is someone knocking on our window?
Someone's doing something.
Sounds like a woodpecker or something.
Oh, someone's out there. All right. Well, hopefully they stop soon. Anyway.
Is someone trying to get in?
No, they're out there outside.
Is someone trapped on that balcony?
They're not knocking, so I hope it's
not for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, not our problem. We're live.
Sorry, buddy. It's nice. It's a nice day outside.
So that's what I did see that tweet, and then they changed their name.
Right.
The team's River City Ramble, which is a great name, by
great
the way.
Great name.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you remember River City Ransom?
No.
It's a video game. It was like a beat 'em up, like Streets of Rage type of thing. It was for the old like Nintendo. Great game. I think that's what the reference is. And I love the name, so.
Why is that the button you press?
So now you know. So look, that's all I really know about it. I don't want
to. St. Tally said we're about to get swatted. There's a weird knocking going on in one of our windows, bro.
So I don't know more than that. I hope it works out fine, but I don't know why the Soccer Capital thing is something.
That might be a trademark name.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't. It also, but I've never seen it used anywhere necessarily. Or I don't associate that with Kansas City.
If someone puts out a podcast called like Capital Blangola, you getting sued, bro.
Bro, nah, not on our watch.
Nah.
I just genuinely, it's such a bad look considering how poorly the season has gone, and now you're fighting with the fans who are trying to create content for you, like you
sure,
said.
Sure. Really,
but if they own doing? The if they own the rights yeah, to the name, I mean, you can't blame them for that. Blame them for everything else.
We have the Cooligans is trademarked.
Yeah.
So
come at us, bro.
Don't try anything.
How dare you, bro? You get a cease and desist from the top lawyer, Blanco.
Okay.
Which is Alexis Blarero.
You're gonna get a very sternly worded DM from my producer Miguelito.
Yo, maybe drop off the bloody head of a horse.
Horse, yeah.
Okay, it will include angry GIFs.
Yes. Right?
So you better watch out. Apparently the Soccer Capital, Kevincho is saying that they have USMNT and women's. I guess. That's what the trademark it sort of involves or stuff like that. I don't know. Anyway. Anything else? Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention was before Alexis falls asleep.
I'm very close to it.
A couple of things. In NWSL season is starting soon. They had the NWSL is also in FIFA, by the way. And
it's about damn time.
They should be, I think, to the 23rd or today or tomorrow is when NWSL gets introduced in FIFA. Mm-hmm. There was a delay. There was some technical issue that they couldn't include NWSL. It was supposed to be last week. And now it's
because they did a bunch of content around it.
Right. They had the plan and
right.
You know,
Midge looking at her scores
and being
how did it compare to yours?
Okay, that's right. Right. This is my FIFA team of the year card that I made at the Premier League Fan Fest. I got 91 pace.
I did not make one because I'm team CBS. You feel me?
Okay. 89 shot, 93 pass. Okay, this is you.
Did
want
you pick your own stats?
Okay, it's all accurate.
All,
right?
all totally accurate.
All right, this is how I play.
By the way, do you notice when he adds the sound how much he enjoys it?
So NWSL should be available in FIFA, but it was kind of a disappointing thing. But from a marketing perspective, that EA would kind of drop the ball on that, especially.
I think
after
the more important thing is to get them in there. I would love to see the women's team of the week kind of stuff, like the team of the season. Like you get a card. Why can't they?
Right, right. Maybe a women's ultimate team. Yeah,
FUT. I'm not trying to slide us into the wiki feet.
Yeah,
range.
Why don't we see more NWSL players' feet in FIFA, bro?
It's about time, bro. It's called FIFA.
Jeez, I mean, we're just connecting the dots here.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I'm doing the marketing for you.
This is a multimedia marketing.
Yeah, bro.
Okay.
Just as Zachary Johnson
has spent probably $350 in the super chat. But shout out to Fort Wayne FC, DeMarcus Beasley's team. That's right.
Paid $5 for us to say that.
Thank you, Zachary Johnson.
If those of you listening to this as a podcast are wondering what the hell's going on and why are people throwing money, get in the chat.
Get in the chat. We're
spend some money yourself.
Yeah, Monday, spend some bucks to make us say whatever you want, bro.
Monday and Tuesday.
Yo,
here
Zach
on YouTube
is packing a lunch for the next 2 weeks because of us, bro.
This was the last I wanted to mention this.
By the way, Enzo Adriani said Ray Hudson flamed Pulisic today. I hope you guys are covering this. I haven't seen this yet.
I did see this.
So when I see it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, essentially all he said was Pulisic. He said Pulisic is not good enough to be at Chelsea. He's like, I'm waiting to see what he can do that would earn him a starting spot on this Chelsea squad, or just a spot at all on the roster.
Damn.
He also said he's constantly not fit, and he's always using that as an excuse. He's basically saying, put up or shut up.
Wow.
I was right. I mean,
should get off the pot.
We're usually used to hearing magisterial and all the stuff, all the great stuff about Messi and everything like that. But Ray Hudson, people forget, Ray Hudson was a proper footballer. Uh-huh. He was a coach in Major League Soccer. He won, right? No, he lost the MLS Cup final right before the team folded. Yeah. The Tampa Bay Mutiny.
No. He was the Miami Fusion.
Yes. So there's a lot of history.
Nick Raimondo was his goalkeeper in that game.
Right. So a lot of respect for Ray Hudson. So this is not just some commentator just blabbing off dude or whatever. Ray Hudson knows his stuff, and if he's saying this, he's basically like, yo, I've had enough. I hear about Pulisic. Like, yo, he needs to produce.
Yeah, well, not everyone's Messi, Ray?
So the bar is quite high. Bro.
Not everyone is magisterial.
I know. Jesus.
I wanted to mention this in NWSL. The San Diego Wave have signed the youngest player in NWSL history.
Melanie
Barcenas. She's, like an academy kid, homegrown player from San Diego.
This is great.
15 years and I believe 188 days. Zachary.
Oh,
no,
my God. Wow. Zach. I hope you got this.
Zachary Johnson with an unbelievable super chat with $100 says, I'm only donating because Alexis said he's donating to the Boys and Girls program in the DR.
I didn't say that, but I will now.
We very much will. Okay, man. Thank you so much,
dude.
Zachary Johnson.
Johnson.
MVP. Bro. MVP of the day.
Well done. Shout out to Zachary. Absolutely.
Everybody. Crushing round it. Of applause for Zach.
And round of applause for Melanie Barcenas. So this is interesting.
Is this a new era for NWSL?
We saw, you know, the Olivia Moultrie ruling after she was trying to get signed by the Portland Thorns.
Sued the NWSL for the right to be signed.
And now I think this is the beginning of younger players signing. This happens obviously in men's soccer all the time. This is nothing new. But people are maybe a healthy conversation about the double standard, because I think when it comes to a teenage boy getting a professional contract, people are like, oh, this is great. He's
made
the
it
beginning.
Out the mud.
It's the beginning of his life and all this other stuff to be this good. He's a savant. He's like another Freddie Adu and blah blah blah. But when it's 15-year-old girls, people are like, oh, maybe she's not mature enough. Maybe there's healthy criticism in that the NWSL, as we know, has not, the last, you know, few years, or essentially since its existence, has not had a healthy track record when it comes to protecting their players. So when they hear about 15-year-old, you're like, oh, is this young woman going to be sort of safe in this professional environment that isn't always the most professional?
I could see that, but I think the issue is a little bit less nuanced than that. I think it's people who just view women as you have to protect them, as opposed to someone who's 15 who's good enough to play should be given the opportunity to play. I'm very big on youth getting the opportunity to play if they're be professionals, yeah, if they have that chance. So I love this signing, and I would never say like, oh, but do we have a way of protecting? I mean, like even for Olivia, when they won, they had like, I think it was Sprite or something, and then right. She had to leave, and then they got to drink like real alcohol and spray each other with beer and stuff.
There's
ways around even some of the stuff that, you know, that's more adult about the league. To me, this feels like there's an underlying current of what they're really trying to say.
Yeah, I think there is. I think some people just sort of react this way. I would say I try to be as charitable as possible to the people that do make that argument, because it's like, it is, to me, it's a fair statement to make given the recent stories in NWSL.
Yeah, I get that. I don't necessarily think that's really what they mean by it.
That's fair.
I think it's because open some of the players are, and they're like, oh, but you can't put kids around. It's stupid. These are the same people who would argue about, you know, drag readings or whatever those things are. You know what I'm saying? Sure. That's how it feels to me.
Yeah, I get that.
I could be wrong.
I'm trying to assume that
I've never been wrong, so I don't know how that feels.
I'm trying to assume that they have the best sort of intention and not are coming from that perspective.
Ben Skolnick said, breaking news, Angel City just signed a baby.
Signed Christian's baby.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that in a second. But I think it's
we're at an hour and a half already.
Right,
so
right.
Let's talk about it now before we go 2 hours.
Overall, I don't think... Look,
I woke up at 3 a.m. and this guy's still called talking.
That isn't a reason to not give somebody a professional contract if they're good enough to play on your team. That's all. I'm definitely, you know, I'm saying that. But
if the team believes she's good enough to contribute and that's why they gave her a contract, then she's good enough to contribute 100%. And deserves a contract. And that's it. That's the end of the story.
100%.
I mean, if you told me she was 9, I'd be like, all right, give the girl a little chance here, you know?
I think it's amazing. I think it's groundbreaking on the way I think even we look at women's sports, because this doesn't happen in WNBA. This doesn't happen anywhere else. And soccer is a different type of sport where young, it's like what the saying is, if you're good enough, you're old enough, right?
Right.
So if a player can play, it doesn't matter what age and if they can contribute to the team. So I think this is a groundbreaking thing, not solely for the sport, but women's sports and just how people view women in these in professional settings, because I think there is a lot of bias, especially when women are younger, that even the bias is like, oh, she should be doing something else with her life at this age.
Right.
And I think this is, you know, for the women that want to play and play at this level,
this is part
when
of
they're
it.
Ready, this is part of it. I think so. I think it's a very much a great thing, but it does bring up conversations that we're not sort of used to having when young women get these opportunities, but it doesn't make it any less amazing. Okay.
The chat is on one time.
Alexa, I said it was good news, Christian. Move on. Okay. All right. So this is where we're just going to wrap up right here. Everybody, thanks so much for hanging out with us here in the live. And if you're listening to the show, thank you again. As always, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We just released a new episode of No Cap Recap where we give you all the behind the scenes.
Yeah, someone said, It did drop.
I actually scheduled it for 3:30 p.m. today. So it should be up right now on Patreon. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. We'll talk about all the stuff with CBS and everything going on with the future of the Cooligans. And
again, it's No Cap Recap. So we recap everything without capping.
Exactly. Okay. And then we also just got a couple gifts.
From Juan Guillermo Ruiz, a great dude we met through Grant Wall. I mean, the list of people we met through Grant Wall continues to grow. He's just a wonderful person. He sent us a little care package, Grant Wall's book, which he did deliver on our show as
Yeah, on our first
episode, Masters of Modern Soccer. I don't have one. You have one.
I read the book. Yeah, I have that one too. Yeah.
Okay. He's got like 1,000 copies of it.
It's a great book where a lot of great interviews. That's the interview that he did with Roberto Martinez. That's really good. He talks about how obsessed of a maniac he is with soccer.
He also sent us a couple cool things to remember Grant by.
Right.
But he also sent this little something for you.
Yeah, look at this, everybody. Can we get on my camera? Yes, look at this. I got little Everton baby bib.
Right. So when you eat your mushy peas.
When I eat my mushy peas, okay, when I'm, eating the Gerber or whatever. This is very tight on my neck, by the way.
Yeah, you don't have to do all that. Stop stretching it for your baby. But he sent some Everton bibs, bibs for the baby.
Thank you.
And what a beautiful little gesture, man. Shouts to Juan Guillermo Ruiz.
Juan is great. He's
Portland Timbers fan.
Lives in Portland. He's
Mexicano.
Mexicano. But he also, every time Everton.
He was very excited about the World Baseball Classic.
That's right. They lost to Japan. Tough loss to Japan. Still amazing for Mexico.
Great. Who'd they be? They'd be DR, right? Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well, they'd be Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah.
And they also have a Cuban.
Randy.
Randy
Arozarena.
Also,
there's a Cuban who defected. The first ever World Baseball Classic defection.
Crazy.
Cuban national team.
Oh, okay.
Dude, who looks like my cousin, bro.
But, Prieto,
I believe his last name is.
Yeah, you know, he's hiding out with you, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Yo, shush.
It's a beautiful.
Stay in the bag, Prieto.
You know, Arozarena, his story is beautiful. Have you heard? Like, he did defect and went to Mexico, and Mexico, like, you know, he embraced him. His family still lives in Mexico, and he petitioned the president. He said, let me become a Mexican citizen so I can play in the World Baseball Classic.
Right. Yeah. Yo, let me. Prieto's like, yeah, Biden. Yeah, I'll play for you, bro. But, America.
But he lived in Mexico for a long time.
There's a lot of Mexicans in Veracruz.
Right. Or Cubans in Veracruz.
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. There's also a lot of Mexicans in Veracruz.
There's a lot of Mexicans in Mexico. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yo, it's crazy. Honestly, too much, bro. No, but there's a lot of Cubans who live in Veracruz. In fact, their accent is skews a little bit more Caribbean.
Sure.
If you ever listen to someone from Veracruz speak, it's pretty dope.
And Ice Cobra said, PR beat DR. That's all that matters. Dale Boricua. Yeah, it was, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, right, yeah. The vibes on all the reggaeton artists that I follow went crazy for this, bro.
So again, Juan, thank you so much.
Ay, Dios mío, bro. How many things you got?
I know. It's a longer show.
I'm going to go to sleep, bro.
We got a delivery. We got the dupe snake out here. The Philadelphia Union did send us a gift, though. Thank you so much.
This better say Blue Union on it or something.
Okay. Oh, okay. I already see what they are. We got some new.
Let's see this.
We got some new kits. Whew. Some Philadelphia Union kits.
Oh, buddy, this is beautiful.
That's clean.
This is nice. Thank you so much, Philadelphia Union. Look, they put our names on there. Dope.
I had to read it twice to make sure it was spelled correctly. But shouts to the Thomas's English Muffin.
Let's go.
On the front, huh? Are you an English Muffin fan? You like them nooks and crannies, my G?
I don't hate it. It's not my go-to.
Yeah, you probably like Blinglish bluffing, right? Like the paleo version, bro. He's like, you got some bluffins out here? Like, you need to leave, sir.
But always very appreciative of the Philadelphia Union. Thank you so much for the love.
Shouts to Fang as well, bro. We miss our homie Fang.
Tough loss this weekend against Montreal. VAR. Correcting their mistakes. You hate to see it when it's against your team. Overall, great week. Welcome back, Alexis, obviously. Tune into the No Cap Recap so you can, hear about everything going on with CBS, with Cooligans. A lot of news for our most dedicated fans, like Zachary Johnson, which I guess you got to be honorary Gully Squad member.
At this point.
What are you doing? Get in the slot.
I think you ran out of money trying to get us to donate. But somebody said, why 21? Why 21?
I actually don't know. Don't know why 21. I mean,
all right, you figure it out. You tell us.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Leave it in the comments. Leave your guess in the comments.
Yeah, guess why in the comments, bro.
Okay. Zachary Johnson just said, was at the Philly Stadium yesterday. It's nowhere near Philadelphia. That's right. It's in Chester. But why?
It's in Chester.
It is what it is. Okay. It's all good. It's not that bad. It's only like maybe 20, 25 minutes from like downtown Philly. It's not that far. Relax. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Another fun episode. We'll be back next week live on YouTube on Monday. We'll be back. I don't know what time because I don't want to speculate because Alexis is schedule.
Give me some space here.
Yeah, we'll sort out all the scheduling stuff soon. But Mondays and Tuesdays on YouTube, and then obviously as always, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. I did see a review that said Christian has a fatty and Alexis is a fatty.
Damn.
Because we made that joke a couple of weeks ago, remember?
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. You made the joke about yourself, so which is why.
Yeah, I'm never going to get offended by that stuff.
So thank you for the review. So
Ben Skolnick said 21 is a Blangolin dozen. Yo, Blangolin bakeries are the best, bro.
All right, everybody. Y'all the absolute best. We will see you next week. Cheers, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.